Assalamu alaikum, Nazreen. Thank you for joining us. Mera naam hai Asif Pabani, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Macro Pakistani. Long-time followers of our platform will already be aware of our discussion of issues such as reducing carbon dioxide emissions and boosting our local energy resources. Aaj is mauzu pe baat karne ke liye, we have a special guest from a company that decide to address these issues in a very unique, distinctive way. So to learn more from their experiences, I'm very happy to welcome Mr. Shahab Qadir, CEO of Engro Power Gen Qadirpur Limited. Mr. Qadir, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So to get straight into it, can you talk us through what's so different about the Engro power plant in Qadirpur and kind of how the idea for it came about in the first place?
Okay. Engro has a pioneering spirit, and we rely on our engineering excellence to carve out difficult solutions. Difficult solutions in a manner that we don't want to burden the resources which are already scarce. So we go for the resources which normally don't have any opportunity or any other alternate use. You can see in Engro Power Gen Qadirpur, or you can see in our coal mining project, we have relied on the resource which was not being used. And this journey started in Engro Power Gen Qadirpur. Engro Power Gen Qadirpur has a unique value prop. It is located on the field of Qadirpur gas fields, roughly 500 kilometers from Karachi. And on this gas field, they have two streams. One is that they process the gas, and the processed gas goes to the grid. And the permeate gas, which is a waste gas byproduct of the process at the Qadirpur gas fields, is wasted, is flared. And this process was happening since 1995, when Qadirpur gas field was discovered, put into use. This flare was going on. And apparently, fortunately, incidentally, this field was on the way of our travel between Daharki to Sakhar. In Daharki, we have our fertilizer complex, and we used to travel to Sakhar for taking our flights back home. And there was a curiosity. There was a curiosity why there was a flare when we have a scarcity of resources. And when we investigated that this gas is high in sulfur and cannot be put into a safe use, that's why they are flaring it. And that gave us an impetus to do something about it. And our leaders back in 2005 come up with a solution that we can use this gas to put up a power plant there. And this gas was allocated to us. This gas was, a feasibility was done along with Government of Pakistan. And we come up with a project of 217 megawatt gas-fired power plant. This project was started in 2010. And since 2010, now we are sitting in 2021, we have produced around 16 billion units of electricity from a gas which was supposed to be flared. So if this project would not have been there, this gas would have been flared. And by doing so, we have generated a revenue of 87 billion for SNGPL and OGDCL. So they have gained 87 billion from this value prop. Nation have got 16 billion units of electricity roughly free. And if this project would not have been there, the next alternate at that time, was RFO. In 2005, 2006, we were putting up RFO-based power plants. So if an RFO plant would have been there, to compensate for the electricity which we were supposed to generate, we would have imported $1 billion of RFO. So we have saved $1 billion of forex outflow, created a cash flow for SNGPL and OGDCL of 87 billion, generated 60 billion of electricity. And another thing is, that gives me, you know, very excitement to tell that since this was being flared, we have not generated any additional CO2 for producing electricity, because CO2 was being generated anyway by flaring the gas. You know, when you combust the gas, CO2 is being generated. We have put a power plant in between. So no additional CO2 was produced. And had it been not us, an RFO plant would have been there, we would have been needing 16 million mature trees to sequester the same CO2, which would have been produced if they would have gone for RFO plant and not us. So this project created economic benefit for the suppliers, for the customer, because they got the cheaper power. Otherwise, they would have to import $1 billion of RFO. You know, roughly 16 billion rupees units they would have generated at a rate of 11 rupees per unit. We generated at 5 rupees per unit. So we created a consumer surplus of 6 rupees for every unit of electricity which we produced. And we created at no environmental cost. So this was an excellent project to show how to do a unique project. And, you know, if you see in the policy, the power policy puts the risk of fuel on the developer. And that stops developer from taking unique decisions. You know, if you have to take the risk of fuel, the most easiest choice for a developer is to go for imported fuel, because you know that for the next 30 years of the project life, you can get fuel from international market. Since the price risk is being taken by the power purchaser and the supplier risk is taken by the project developer, so it's easy for the project developer to put an imported fuel project. So going for a local fuel project is a risky proposition, and then going for a project which is just dependent on one field is even difficult. But we took that call and we said, let's see it. Let's see how it develops. And the dividend which nation got, I have told you. So this is a very exciting project, a showcase project, how to do a project in a scarce environment.
Gee, bilkul. And was this idea for this power plant based on any other similar development internationally, or was this just a local feasibility study and your company saw that this was an opportunity that they could make it work?
We found that, and we did a feasibility study before committing to the project. We found technology solutions with various technology providers like GE, like Siemens, and then we developed the project. So technology side was covered by various technology providers, and there was a feasibility which was done. But the major risk which company took was on the supply of the permeate gas for the next 30 years, because we were told that this permeate gas would be available for only 5 years. From 2015, Kazipur gas field would start depleting, and with it, permeate gas would start depleting. And in 2017, the permeate gas supply would be finished, and we have to find an alternate fuel. Fortunately, the Kazipur gas field performed better than the projections. And even today, we are getting 50% of our gate gas.
Right. And I think that was essentially going to be the next question that I was going to lead to. Ki gas fields mein jo gas hoti hai, doesn't stay forever. So as you see this output declining from Kazipur gas field in the future, how does the power plant plan on continuing operations while also trying to maintain an eco-friendly outlook?
Right. And this was a difficult sell in 2010, back when we were trying to develop the project, because the gas was being committed for just 5 years. So, it was not a plain vanilla project. Normally, you do a project with 30 years of fuel available to you. So there were so many questions about the viability of the project. And then and the discussion which ensued, that if we see that what's the alternate, if we don't do this project, what's the alternate? And alternate was an RFO project. So instead of RFO project, we propose that you get an opportunity of, okay, they are committing 5 years, okay, 5 years of local gas, and after that, 20 years of imported fuel. It's still better than 25 years on imported fuel. So that's a question we answered at that time. And we said, okay, let's take a call. Let's walk along and see what happens. And when that situation would come, when the gas would deplete it, we will switch to imported fuels. So instead of committing the whole life of the project on the imported fuel, let's take a call on the life of the gas field and have a capability in the plant that we will switch to an imported fuel when that situation comes. So that call has bear the fruit. And now we are working that whenever there's a shortfall on the permeate gas, we should top it up with an imported fuel like RLNG. So this project going forward from here till the last day of its life will be running on two fuels. One is permeate gas. The amount which is available will be consumed first, and remaining balance quantity will be topped up by RLNG. And in this manner, we hope that in the next 14 years, we will be able to produce 6 billion of units on the permeate gas. So if you compare, when we did the feasibility, we contemplated that we will generate 10 billion units on permeate gas. That was the commitment. And the remaining will come from the alternate fuel. And remaining was 33 billion units in the total project life. What now we see that we have already produced 16 billion units on permeate gas, instead of 10 billion units, which was planned. So we have generated more than, 50% more than what was expected. And still there is a promise that 6 billion more units will be produced on the permeate gas. So instead of 10 billion units, we will be producing 22 billion units on permeate gas. So this is 100% what you can say bonus on this project to the power purchaser, to the economy, that this was the right policy call made by all the stakeholders, that this project should go ahead and should convert to the alternate fuel when the situation arises. And now the situation has arisen, and we are working on the plan with the government that we will be topping up the shortfall amount with the RLNG.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I wanted to understand how that transition would be taking place. Because as I touched on at the beginning as well, is that finding local indigenous sources of energy is very important for Pakistan, as you mentioned as well, when talking about imported furnace oil, and even in terms of RLNG, which Pakistan has to import increasing amounts of. So finding local solutions such as this for our energy issues is really helpful, and also in terms of bridging our current account deficit and reducing our dependence on imported fuel. So in that context, do you see this plant as a one-off step by your company, or are there other similar projects that you are currently in the process of pursuing or intend on pursuing, preferably ones that also have a green element to them, because also climate change is
right. Right. Local gas fields have declined to a level that they cannot provide a 30-year guarantee of supply to a project developer. So it's very difficult for a project developer to do a project on the basis of local gas. The only option which has been opened up recently, where the fuel supplier is giving a 30-year guarantee to a power plant, is coal mine, is Thar coal mines, where SCCMC is committing, whoever his client is, that they will be supplying 30 years of coal if they put up a project. So this is a shift from gas to coal, that Pakistan doesn't have local gas, but local coal, which can be bankable for a project. But since bankability of coal project is determined by the availability of cash, and as we are seeing the headwinds on the climate side, that it would be more and more difficult to finance project on the coal. It's very imperative for Pakistan to look for bankable renewable solutions. And that's what we are trying to, you know, uncode, decode, that how to develop a green project going forward without sovereign guarantee. Because what we feel that as a sector, government cannot provide any more sovereign guarantee to the power projects. So, because whatever they have done so far, it's more than their capacity. You know, and you can see all those issues of circular debt, capacity trap. So we feel there is a need that we should have a futuristic solution on the green project basis. And that project should not rely on government sovereign guarantee. So these should be two elements in a project if we want a boom in the green energy basis. And on for that, what we have done, we have embarked upon a project where we will be selling power directly to the customer. So there won't be any need of sovereign guarantee. There won't be a need of government assistance. So one element done away with that, this project would not be needing government sovereign guarantee, because it doesn't mean anything as we move forward. And the second element is that we feel that green energy makes economic sense now. It doesn't need any subsidy going forward, and that's the statement which we want to make. So the solution which we are committing to our direct bilateral customer is that most of the energy, around 60% of their energy needs, will be fulfilled from the green solution which we will develop for them. So in this 400 megawatt project which I am discussing, it would be a wind solar hybrid put in Jhimpir, and that would roughly cover 55 to 60% of the energy need of our industrial customer, and the remaining 40% will come from a dispatchable power, like a gas-based engine. We will put up a gas-based engine, and that 40% will come from that. And as the batteries technology grow, we will, keep decreasing this 40% amount, because the battery would help us decreasing our reliance on the fossil fuel. So the solution which we are bringing for the industrial customer is a wind solar hybrid, which will cover 60% of their energy needs. 40% would be initially met by gas-based engines. And as the battery technology improves, we will keep transferring that 40% load, that 40% energy needs to the batteries. And that's the transition path which we are looking for the Pakistan. And if that solution is successful, we see that the same can be replicated at a much larger scale.
And what's the current status of this project, or when will it be coming online?
Okay. There are three elements to this project. One, market has to be developed. Right now, this market is based on monopolies of distribution companies, which means that in their areas, no other supplier can serve the customer. So one development has to be done on the market side. What we see that in 2018, there was an amendment to NEPRA Act was passed by the parliament, and that has done away with the monopolies of distribution companies. Now, when the licenses will expire, the exclusivity of the distribution companies will expire as well. And most of the distribution companies' licenses are expiring by 2023. So market is being developed for a non-monopolistic supply or for a competitive supply going forward from 2023. That's one take. Second take is you need to find the customers who are willing to buy power from you. So we have a portfolio of customers who are excited on this opportunity because many customers, especially the industrial customer, as you know, feel that high energy cost and unreliable energy supply is impeding the development of their businesses and in turn impeding the economy of Pakistan. So they feel this is something to try. So we are working with multiple industrial customers, especially in the South Coastal Belt, who are willing to work with us. And then we need to deliver molecule. That's the third part. To deliver molecule, we need to put up a project. And we have recently signed an MOU with Government of Sindh, where as host government of Sindh will provide us land in the solar and wind area, which is Jhimpi. So they will give us, as the host government, access to the resource, wind resource and the solar resource by allocating land. And then we are working with their subsidiary SJDC to transmit our power to our customers. So Government of Sindh will be help asking its arm of Sindh Transmission and Development Company to transmit our power to the customers. And all this has to converge in 2024. We are planning to send first molecule, first electron in 2024 of a green energy, which will be sent in a bilateral mode without support of sovereign guarantee to take the project risk. Instead, it will be relying on a corporate PPA between industrial customers and industrial supplier. So these are the developments, and first molecule, first electron will be transferred in inshallah 2024, when the market will be open.
Right. Thank you so much for sharing those insights with us, Mr. Kadir. And I wish you all the best for the development of these renewable energy projects in the coming years. And also thanks for sharing insights regarding this Permian gas project. And we're hoping to see other innovative projects like this in the coming years. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Take care. Love this.
Take care. Love.